that over the time that particularly we're away, and it's interesting, you go into St. Peter's, you go into Rome, and you see all these statues, and you see these statues of heroic saints doing wonderful things, you know? There was lots of pictures of Peter being crucified upside down, as it was reported that he was. But it occurred to me, there wasn't very much of the humanity of Peter. Now, you've got to read the Bible and see the humanity of people. You are human because you are designed in God's image and his likeness. You got your humanity from him. God is not trying to turn you into something different than you already are. He is saying, you are supposed to be this way. This is how life is supposed to be. You're supposed to be human. And if you read the Gospels, you see the humanity of the disciples. Out of the 12 of them that we read about, only 4 of them seem to get it by the end of it. So that's pretty human. And Peter, who, there's the big church named after him. He was the major culprit of putting his foot in his mouth, stuffing it up, saying he'd do something and not doing it. He was human. And you know what? God built the church on that humanity, on the fact that, you know what, we're never designed to do it without him. When I returned home to the house, which Ella has been looking after, doing a great job stopping it from falling into complete disrepair, it was evident to me that the cat had sort of taken over and usurped Ella's position, because there was a cushion with hair all over it, and that was his spot. And there was kind of dead things everywhere. Well, but he's just being a cat. You know, my objective is not to have trained the cat to open the pouches for himself, put it into the bowl, and do it himself. That's not what he's there to do. We're there to look after him. He's just being a cat. So you just clean up after him. You wash the cushion cover and you start stroking him again, you know? And that's something of what God wants to say to us this morning. He wants to say, it's okay to be human. And he understands, that we have problems and we have battles and we have challenges, and that's okay. And he wants to make a way for us to live. I think that word that Pete said, it's somewhere, and it said glorious life or something, did it? Can you remember? Somewhere in it, it said it kind of basically about living a good life. I mean, just as a side note, Eugene Peterson, who is that the Message version, he died just recently on the 22nd of October. So that's a sad thing, you know, because he did an amazing job with that. But God wants us to live a good life. He wants to help us through the battles we're dealing with today. He understands the battles. He understands the challenges. And as I got up this morning, this statement popped into my mind, and I thought, where's that come from? I don't have many thoughts in the morning, so it can only be God. The battle belongs to the Lord. Now, you've heard, if you've been a Christian for a while, you've probably got a song running through your mind or something else. And so I looked it up. And in 2 Chronicles, we find an amazing story. we find that there is a king. And let me just give you a bit of a background. At this time in the history of the Jewish people, we've got 2 kingdoms. We've got a king of Israel. We've got a king of Judah. And they're basically kind of duking it out with each other. Sometimes they're getting along, sometimes they're not. Sometimes they're fighting each other, sometimes they're fighting others. So we find ourselves with the couple of previous chapters. We find Ahab, who's the king of Israel, and we have Jehoshaphat, who's the king of Judah, who's related a couple of ticks down from King David. And if you read the previous chapter, it's worth reading, because it's like an episode of Blackadder. King Ahab has said to Jehoshaphat, why don't you come and hang out with me and let's go and fight some people. And Jehoshaphat says, well, I'm not going to fight anyone until we get a word from God. So Ahab brings 400 of his mates in who purportedly can hear from God. And he says, "What?" They all say, "Whatever you say goes, Ahab. It's going to go well. You go out and you're going to have a victory." And Jehoshaphat, who's got some idea, says, "Do you think we should try and find out another opinion? Should we get someone who actually hears from God?" And so they drag the only person they can think of who hears from God. And he comes along and says, "Yeah, whatever. It's going to be okay." And Jehoshaphat and Ahab realize maybe he's not quite telling the truth. So they said, "No, you've got to tell us the truth." And he goes, "Okay, then, you're going to die." To which Ahab slaps him across the face and says, "Take him off until prison. Take him off to prison, and I'm not going to die." Then he's a little bit unsure about that, because he decides to go to battle with Jehoshaphat, and he says to Jehoshaphat, "Why don't I go in disguise and you dress up like a king?" And if you read on, the battle goes on. Although they all think they're going to the people are trying to kill the king, actually a stray arrow kills Ahab anyway, and Jehoshaphat gets away with it. It's worth a read, okay? Because that's just the highlights. So we find Jehoshaphat now in a different situation. He is facing the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. So three armies are against him. And in verse 13, we find, and it's quite appropriate that we've got everyone, all the men of Judah and their wives and the little ones stood before the Lord. There's a principle here that actually some of the battles you face, you need to face together. You know, it's not your job even necessarily as parents to mask the fact that you have challenges and mask the fact that, you know, I'm not saying that you should, you know, wake your kids up during the night and show them the bills, you know. But on the other hand, you're trusting God together. You're doing it together. The battle is something that affects everyone. Actually, if you go back one, I don't know whether the software will do that, but if you go back into verse 12, it says, "Our God will not judge. Our God will not judge them, for we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Now, that is a very good place to find yourself. If you're in a battle, the first thing you've got to understand is you don't have any power to deal with this battle, because actually the battle belongs to God. And you weren't designed to have any power to face this battle. You weren't designed to deal with it. You weren't designed to know what to do. So the first thing you need to get to is to say, "I have no power to face this vast army or this battle." The second thing you need to be sure of is, "I don't know what to do." Again, many of us figure out and concoct, like the last two chapters that I just described, a cunning plan that we think God should be really impressed with and he should empower. And yet he's decided that that's not how it's going to work. But our eyes are on you. And then we find in verse 13, everyone's together, and I'm sure they're a little bit nervous. You've got three armies just about to descend on you and wipe you off the face of the earth. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehiel, son of Zechariah, the son of someone else and the son of everyone else. And then he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeriel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you." That is amazing. That is specific, accurate information that God knows not only where you are, but he knows where they are. and he knows where they'll be when you'll be where you are. This is before Google Maps. I was just saying earlier, you know, when you're on holiday, Google Maps is a great thing. You dial it up, and even if you haven't got any internet connection, you press the little button, and the little blue thing tells you where you are. And then you move around, and you know which direction you're pointing in. Well, God knows the beginning from the end. And as you keep your eyes on him, he wants to give you specific information about your circumstance, about your battle, about your situation that is pinpoint accurate. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and the deliverance, the Lord will deliver you. Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell on the ground and worshipped before God. Then some of the Levites from the Kohathites and the Korathites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. If you're looking at reasons why we should praise God in a very loud voice, there's a scriptural thing. These guys, they were from Korah. They were descendants of Korah, and they made bread. All the Levites, the priests, were given different jobs to do. And I like to think that these guys had their bread containers and things they made bread in, and they were whacking them together, and they were shouting as loud as they could, enthusiastically, that this was good news. God was going to fight this battle for them. Early in the morning, they left the desert of Tekoa, and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and the people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord, to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out ahead of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." This is not a formula. This is a principle. This is a way in which you need to, if you get a hold of it, you will be able to face every battle that you're dealing with, and where fear, like Peter has said this morning, is trying to sneak in, and every decision that you're not sure about, you will be able to work it through to the conclusion that God wants. It starts by you saying, "You know what, I give up. I give up on my own plan. I can't do it, and that's okay. I haven't got any power, and that's okay, but my eyes are on you." Then the second thing is you need to hear from God. You need to hear a word from him. You need to hear something specific from him. If you can't hear from God, that is the number one thing that you need to get sorted out. And I would encourage you to do, because the rest of it doesn't work unless you can hear from him, like we've heard this morning. You can hear him speaking to you and saying, "This is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it." And then you hang on. Faith is about a connection. And you hang on to what God said, and you hold on to it, and you keep holding on to it. And then when you feel like you're losing ground, you start singing. And you sing loud. The only thing that comes into my mind is the quote from Elf. "Sing loud so everyone can hear." It's a good principle that singing loud is good for you. Okay? Just take it from me. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." They began to sing and pray. As the key, verse 22. As they began to sing and praise the Lord, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. I don't know what that means. I don't know how God set ambushes against those men. But whatever he did, it worked. Because they were defeated. It says, in my Bible, it says, "The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir." So they basically, have I got that there? Maybe a slightly different version. "The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them." So, two-thirds of the people fought against the other ones. And once they'd finished slaughtering the men of Seir, they helped to destroy each other. So it was basically a complete catastrophe. And when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooked the desert, and they looked towards this vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. Now, whatever you think about, you know, that thing, it's amazing that God has done it. And your battle might not be against three, you know, tribes of people who are trying to wipe you off the face of the planet, but it's no less real. If your enemy is a financial debt or a struggle, you think, I don't know how I'm going to pay this. I don't know. I've tried. I'm thinking about getting four different jobs. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. And you need to stop and say, this battle isn't mine. This battle is the Lord's. And you need to start by saying, I don't have any power to do this, but you do, God. And you know what? I don't know what to do, but you do, God. And then you need to start putting your eyes on him. And you need to start to worship him. And you need to start to hold on to him. And you need to say, God, I want to wait until I hear a specific word from you. And know that he is for you and not against you. He wants to defeat the enemy. These guys, all they had to do was stand firm. It then goes on to say, basically, they collected up all the plunder and they took it back to, and they returned joyfully to Jerusalem. But in verse 29, it's quite interesting. It says, the fear of the Lord came upon all the kingdoms of the countries who'd heard how the Lord had fought against the enemy of Israel. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace. His God had given him rest on every side. Now you can decide to play this life two ways. You can do it your way, struggle, you know, and at the end of it, sing as Frank Sinatra did, I did it my way. Or you can do completely the opposite and say, I did it his way, and he gave me rest, and he provided for me, and God defeated my enemies, and it was him who empowered me. And all I had to do, there is a role for you. These guys didn't sit at home and say, oh, God's fighting the battle. They still had to go. And I don't know why, but they still had to go. They still had to engage. But that's what you see throughout the Old Testament. Every time God wants to do something amazing, it involves us doing the bit that we can do. It either involves us putting our foot into the water before the waters part. It involves Moses putting grasping a hold of a stick or with a reverse when it turns into a snake, grasping a hold of it. God gives us a little bit to do, and then he does the rest. And I just want to encourage us today that that's his heart for you. We are people... funnily enough, in the previous chapter, the person who speaks, the prophet who speaks, foreshadows Jesus, where he says, "These are people like sheep without a shepherd." And when you look around this world, that's what it feels like. It feels like, man, this is tough. It's battle after battle after battle. But God wants us to know that there is a way in which he can equip us to walk and have peace on all sides. But it'll be a peace that he has brought about because he loves us. It'll be a peace that he's brought about because we trusted him. Take your position and stand firm. The battle is not yours. Have faith. If your faith begins to waver, sing loudly. God will do amazing things. Thank him and celebrate, and then let God give you rest on every side. And you see, by bringing and involving the young people and the children in that episode, they learned what God would do. They saw with their eyes an amazing result. And it became an example of faith for them that they could hold on to. And actually, if you read why God was so good to Jehoshaphat, it wasn't because he was a good bloke. He did some good things, and he did some stupid things. And that wasn't the point. The point was, God loved him, And God had also promised to David that his descendants would sit on the throne. And so for the sake of someone, David, he was saying, I'm going to do this. So it's not possible to see from our perspective why God's doing what he's doing and how he's going to do what he's going to do. But you can guarantee he wants to and is willing to. And some of the situations that you're dealing with and that I'm dealing with, we have to get to a place where we stop trying to figure it out ourselves and we decide to let God be God and let the battle belong to him. Give it over to him. That's a challenge. The disciples, each, there was things that the disciples had to give up to follow Jesus. Some of the disciples had to give up their comforts and their luxuries, and they had to go on the road, and they had to actually leave that behind. Others had to leave behind their own thinking, that they knew what was right, and that they had the solution, and that their thoughts were the best thoughts. Some of us have got to lay that down and say, hey, it's your thoughts, God. It's your opinion that matters. It's your way of doing this. And his way may be contradictory to everything that we think we should do. That's what happened. If you see Peter, he was constantly being given things to do by Jesus that contradicted what he knew how to do them. I know how to fish. Well, just cast your nets over on the other side in the daytime and I'll fill those nets with fish. That's what Jesus was doing constantly and will do with us. It makes no sense to march men, women and children out to face singing, to face annihilation. But by doing that, God, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord ambushed the people. And part of this journey we're on together is to encourage one another that the battle that we're facing, that are real, belongs to God, and leave it with him. And it's okay to be human. It's okay to be feeling like we don't know what we're doing or how we're going to do it, because in that we start to build trust in the only one who can help us, which is the Lord. Amen. I know it's cold in here, and I realize you're preserving warmth by not moving at all, except your eyes. I know you're alive. I can still see the flicker in your eyes, but I do appreciate that I'm moving around up here. So we're going to sing, okay? We're going to sing loudly. If you want to beat something, bash something, not a child, make some noise, yeah. I think we should sing that one, you split the sea so I can walk right through it. You know, to begin with, it was Moses and Elijah and Elisha and people who split those seas. But actually, God wants to know that he wants to do that for you. But it comes from hearing from him and actually placing your foot the first bit in the water. That makes it happen. And God wants to do some amazing things. Peter has already said this morning, if you're fearful, you're fearful because you've got a battle ahead of you. This is an opportunity to give it to God and say, you know what, God, I am your child. I'm not supposed to be able to do this. I was never designed to do it without you, and I'm giving it back to you. And that exercise of faith says, I trust you to do more than I can ask or imagine. So let me pray and then let's sing together. And if you want prayer, there will be a team at the back who want to pray for you. Your battle may be in finances, it may be in relationships, it may be in physical healings, it could be anything. And if it's a big thing for you, then it's a big thing for God. So don't trivialize it. Go and get some prayer. Get someone to agree with you. And know that as you look to him, he'll do amazing things. So let's stand up and let's pray together. Father, I thank you that from the beginning to the end of the Bible, all we see is simple normal human beings who decided to trust you and not themselves. And every time that happened, something amazing happened and something supernatural happened. And so, Father, we just want to, for some of us, it's laying down our own ideas of how this is going to happen. For some of us, it's laying down the way we think it should be done. For some of us, it's just laying down the fear and saying, I'm no longer going to be a slave to fear. And God, in all of these things, we look to you, the author and perfecter. We look to where our hope comes from, where our help comes from. We look to you. And as we look, Father, give us that gift of faith today. Give us a gift that says it's going to be okay. And as that faith takes root in our hearts, Lord, let us start to worship you and sing praises to you and watch amazing things happen. In Jesus' name, amen.